I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are broadcasting live today from Metro Bottle here, Marietta Boulevard. It is Upper West Side, West Midtown. Let's waste no time and talk to the head football coach of Alabama. His name is Kalen DeBoer. And Coach DeBoer, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show. How you doing, by the way? We got a week off before you guys get LSU. How are things?
Yeah, it's good. Much needed bye week this week. Just walked off the practice field and guys got good energy, you know, with the good momentum that we've had. Finding a way to win games each and every week in the SEC is hard, and they've done that. So, yeah, we're in a good spot, get healthier, and a big run here with our last four games.
Definitely want to pick your brain about our quarterback, Michael Penix Jr., but first I want to talk about one of your secret weapons who averages 3.8 yards per carry. Of course, I'm talking about Caden Proctor. Man, how much fun was that? I know the media had kind of some secret sauce. They knew that you had practiced it, but, boy, it was something to pull that out against Georgia. Talk about it.
Yeah, it's fun. And, you know, we started really getting him the ball in the fall camp, deciding to flip it out there. He was in the backfield on some things and using him as a blocker a lot. You know, you start doing that and you're like, dang, this guy, he's pretty natural. And, there's just an area or here or there where you can kind of catch people off guard. And we did that, I think, especially with that throw. But he did a great job. He's worked so hard in all ways. He's playing his best football here this season. And, just brought a lot of energy and juice. We got a lot of linemen waiting at Coach Grubb, our offense coordinator's door, trying to buy for their chance to get some touches too. But I'll let him worry about that.
Yeah, I can only imagine. It is Kalen DeBoer, Alabama's head coach. Alabama! Coach, I want to ask you, I want to take you back to the first week because a lot of people were down, not only on you, but the program and what's going on. You guys have since won 7 in a row. How did you right the ship, or was there anything special that you did after that Florida State loss?
Well, yeah, we certainly recognized there were some things we were falling short on and needed to be better. I think there was I think that's part of a season is continuing to improve, right? That's what the great teams do. They get better. And I think it wasn't just all of a sudden we played that game and, you know, I always say we didn't just wake up. You know, we went back to work and, you know, a lot of our schedule allowed for us to continue to just improve and get better. And we stacked days. I mean, all the cliches, that's kind of what we did. And we lived it. We didn't just talk about it. We lived it. And we always found out that we had more in us. And, you know, you can measure that in a lot of ways, obviously in wins, but you can measure that also just even the GPSs that we wear these days. I mean, you can find out how hard guys are practicing. We were practicing hard. We were practicing at the standard that you want relative to what my experiences are and even here of what it's been. But we just our guys, this is a great group, a high character group. They're very close, and they've gotten closer. But they're not shy of hard work, and they found out they got more in them. And what they really did is just really blocked out the noise. In fact, any noise that they were aware of, we used and channeled it into the right type of motivation, you know, kind of an us versus the world type of thing. And we continue to find those ways where we can kind of hone in on that. I make sure that they get a little dose of that every week and, right. You know, kind of remember where we came from. So, you know, obsessed with getting better is what we've done. And we've got 1 week at a time. We've had to win some close games, but it puts us in the spot we're at now.
I mean, to start with a zone read offense the first week of the season is tough for a lot of teams, but amazing coaching job for Kalen DeBoer, the number 4th-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide. He's live here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Ty Simpson was good out of the box, 2 touchdowns in that game, 20 touchdowns, 1 pick. Talk about his maturation as he just looks like he's ready for the NFL right now.
Yeah, he's doing a great job. He's in it. He's a great leader for us on top of the stats that he's putting up and the throws he's making. He's genuine, just a super, I mean, you know, how can you not root for a guy who waited his time like he has here with all the opportunities he could have had to go elsewhere. So he's every single day the guy you want, and he keeps getting better. He keeps growing in different ways, and so he can make the throws you need him to make, and you know, just again, our team's rallied around him, and he stepped up in a big way.
Alabama gets LSU at home, by the way, Saturday, November 8th. They get a week off here as they work their way towards the end of the season, a chance to potentially win another SEC championship, and who knows what happens with the national championship. Coach, I want to ask you about Coach Saban. You know, we joke on this show about the fact that, hey, you know, if Coach DeBoer really wants to go talk to Saban, he's right there. He still has an office. How often does that happen? How frequently do you reach out, if at all, during the season, or is that all in the off season? Does he not bother you, or do you not bother him during the season?
He I know he's always available anytime I'd need to and want to go catch up with him over there at the stadium. And, you know, he's a busy guy too. And so yeah. There was a time I remember this summer, I'm like, okay, I need to find something on his calendar and we should get our assistants connected. And I think that, it was like a month and a half later where both of our schedules lined up to where we could get an hour together. But, you know, he's always available. He loves this place. He poured so much into it. I know he's you know, in the media role and the way, you know, what he has to do there and how he has to operate with that. But I also know that you don't put as much time into a place like you did here and want to see it fall off. And so, you know, that support is felt. He's got a lot of players that I know he really cares about that are still on our football team. But if there's something I would ever need, I can do that and reach out to him.
Kalen DeBoer is with us, guys. As we said, Alabama number 4 in the country. I mean, you've won everywhere you've been. Your winning percentage is through the roof. But there had to be some days, though, last year when you come home to your wife and go like, what did I sign up for? I mean, because especially, you know, it's the regionalism of the SEC and other coaches have struggled. But, I mean, did you ever look in the mirror one day and say, oh, boy, what have I got myself into?
You know, I knew, first of all, I knew what I signed up for. I really did. And there was a point when I was at Washington, and I remember a few of us on the staff were talking about this one day, looking across the country at that time, and Coach Saban, I don't know what game it was, but dropping one game or, you know, something not going quite right, and made these media headlines like always across the country. You know, everyone's talking about whatever it was, the loss it was, you know, just, and I'm sitting there saying to myself, really? Like they're dragging Coach Saban, the legend, through the mud on this one. And knowing full well that, you know, the new guy coming in, and how hard it is to establish your culture, establish some consistency, establish just people feeling comfortable with who you are. I certainly understand it would not be easy. And I appreciate our staff for understanding that as well. And for just continuing to keep their nose down, referring even almost back to what you asked earlier with the first game, you know, and just how hard things were after that. That's what our staff did. And we got a resilient group of players. But that trickles down because our staff is extremely resilient and they're cohesive and work together to be solution oriented. So, you know, people always say they want to go be and challenge to be the best they can be at places like this. And, you know, some people get there and then they're like, whoa, that wasn't really what I meant, you know. But I think our staff really understood that, and I'm proud of them.
Coach, I'm giving you a lot of credit because – you know, again, as Mike said, that the heat here in the South with the expectations, sometimes it's unrealistic. And Coach Saban used to say it, you know, we win 12 games and everybody's like, it's not enough. And so, you know, that comes with the territory. We're talking with Kalen DeBoer, guys. Want to shift gears and talk about Michael Penix. When we had Michael on, we do a show up at Flowery Branch every week. And a couple of weeks, Michael came on and we asked him about your relationship. And he said, yeah, I talk to Coach all the time. Can you tell us in this developmental thing that he's going through and learning the NFL, you know, what do you think about where he's at? And, again, I know you're busy with Alabama, but I'm sure whenever you get a chance, you try to keep tabs on what Michael Penix is doing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, first of all, I just go back to when he was wrapping up his time there at Washington and thinking about the next level. I just kept telling him, you know, whatever comes your way, it's not going to be easy. You know, there's going to be different types of adversity that you're going to face. And, you know, the NFL is the NFL. It's the next level for a reason. You're against the best every single week. But the things he had been through, the adversity, the emotions, you know, he's great with people. I just kept reminding me that he's built for it emotionally, and as a person and with his character, but he's also built for it just physically. And again, there's going to be a development time. And that should always happen to me until the last snap he takes in his career. But, I just think that, you know, there is a curve that you got a learning curve that you got to go through. And, it's not just him. It's him with his teammates and his coaches and all of that. And so, but he's built for it. He's built for that. And he can make the throws. He can comprehend and put it all together. And again, it's not always gonna be perfect, and he's going to make mistakes, but man, he's going to stay in the fight, because that's who he is. He's done that. He did that all his college career, and that's what he'll continue to do. And he's a uniter of people, and that's what you want. And you can go a long ways with talented people who have high character and work hard, and you're uniters of, you know, of your team.
Kalen DeBoer is with us, guys, Alabama head coach. That's the thing, Coach. We had a joint scrimmage at Falcons practice where the Titans went after him on the second day, and he's right in the middle of the scrum. He's swinging. He's in the middle of it. The team just went bananas on both sides, and that's the kind of character you're talking about. So he's not going to get shook, basically, if he's dealing with adversity this season.
I actually saw that, and kind of checked him on it a little bit. And so, you know,
what are you, crazy?
I just want to make sure. And it was all good. I was pleased. I mean, because I think it brought out a side of him that, you know, you got to pick and choose your times, right? Because you talk about uniter people, or you talk about a swagger that a guy has, and it, you know, you don't want it to be arrogant. And I think that he has that, right? He's confident in who he is, and, you know, he's just, but he also, he's a great people person, and he understands he can't do it by himself. And so I think a lot of those things that you pick and choose your times and the right moments when they pop up, you know, to really kind of show, hey, you know, I appreciate my teammates. I'm confident in who I am. And, you know, that kind of was one of those moments right there.
Coach, I want to ask you about these buyouts. Everybody's talking about what's going on around college football. We know that the business you guys are in. But what are your thoughts? I mean, obviously you took this job. It comes with a contract that says if they want to move on, and, you know, we hope you're there for 20 years, but you get compensated for it. But these buyouts are enormous. And I'm just curious, how, as a coach, how do you feel about it? Because most of you guys talk about being teachers first. This is just, yeah, we get paid a lot of money because of what we're doing, but how do you feel about these buyouts?
Well, I mean, you know, like I think a lot of it goes back to just what's the nature of kind of how things are happening, how quickly decisions are being made. And, you know, you know, seems like it's less and less time that a coach is getting to change the program, especially if you're new and it was a program that's struggling, or if things go south on you in a hurry. And, you know, it's a different scenario for every single person, right? My scenario is different than others. And, right. You know, I picked up and left a place that I loved, you know, and, I was great there, at Washington, but, understanding the situation here at Alabama and it being Alabama and, you know, the job that, you know, anyone would want, and be at, there's also a lot that comes with it. Everything we just talked about earlier, you know, the expectations and all of that. So again, you know, there's coaches that, you know, people are going to compete to go get. And, right. You know, I guess it's, you know, without saying too much, I mean, it's kind of the supply and demand. I mean, of what you want, right. To get, what level of coach do you want? And, you know, that's going to come with a price.
Right. Kalen DeBoer with us. One last question for you, Coach. In the transactional nature of college football, I think we've seen programs, not to name specifics, that have relied too much on the portal. Now in year two, you've got your culture. So you got to have a baseline of recruiting. But how hard is that to maintain in this day and age?
It is. And, you know, for us, we play in a lot of young guys. I think, you know, there's really three guys on each side of the ball that maybe they're – four of them, I think, or three of them you could name for sure like starters, but six of them that are in the immediate rotation. And, you know, for us, that's important to have a lot of younger guys playing because, you know, they could help us, and we recruited well. So those guys are ready to play. But it also helps us in the retention and, like you said, the culture that you're trying to build. But over the last 2 years, we've probably brought in, and I'll throw a number out there, probably people will check me on that too, but I think we've probably been about 65-ish new scholarship players. And so, you know, the thing that, you know, people always say, and we know it, but you still got to live it, is that everyone's going to play their best ball against Alabama. And, you know, I think until you've really been in that, and we have a lot of new players that have been in it for the first time this year or the first two times last year and this year, there's things that you learn. And I think we've come through in the big moments and the critical times because we got a little continuity, you know, from last year to this year. And we've talked through scenarios and situations that, you know, came up a year ago or things that we see other people going through. And these guys care. And so we've learned a lot from our experiences and others, and gotten better because we've really applied some practice to those moments for when they come up. So that continuity is critical, and that's coaching staff and that's players. And in today's world of college football, both those, you know, especially this year with the coaching cycle that it looks like it's going to be, you know, it's keeping that continuity is going to come down to relationships and, you know, having a staff that wants to be together and do something special, and then that trickling down to your team.
Coach, what do you expect from LSU real quick? Because they have turmoil going on. I said before you came on, sometimes that galvanizes a team. You don't know how a team responds. Just curious, what are you telling your kids as you guys start that preparation next week for LSU?
Well, yeah, 100%. I use that exact word, galvanize, with – you know, our staff just a little bit ago, and I think I did an interview yesterday, we used that word as well. And so there'll be a different energy, I think, that they have, and we have to expect it, that it's the best that they've brought all year. And this rivalry itself is one thing, you know, and that's going to bring out the best in you and them as well. But I've seen teams that have done exactly what you said. I mean, I think there's been some big games won this year by other programs the week after changes have been made. So, you know, this is and what it really does, though, is it still goes back to us folks and not us, you know, and that's what we've done this whole time. But we do have to understand, you know, what we're getting into and who we're playing as well.
Coach, you're doing a hell of a job. Good luck the rest of the way, guys. They got LSU, Oklahoma, Eastern Illinois. They finish at the Iron Bowl at Auburn. And, Coach, we know you're spending time here in Atlanta a lot. You're always welcome to come on. We appreciate you, and good luck the rest of the way. Thank you again.
Yeah, good chatting with you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Cool. It's interesting, guys. And, by the way, Ryan Grubb is his OC.
Right.
That was the guy with Michael Penix in Washington. Mike mentioned he went to the NFL, Seattle 1 year. Matter of fact, he helped Geno get paid. To be quite honest with you, right. Geno was throwing the ball around up there, and now he's back with them. A big reason why Ty Simpson is balling out.
Right. And think about, remember we played the soundbite of Coach after the loss to FSU?
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like, oh man, they're in trouble in Tuscaloosa. That's coaching. That's dealing with adversity you couldn't have any more than Alabama dealt with. How do the Falcons deal with the same kind of adversity right now in these next few weeks?
This hour is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash. Let Wise Guys lights brighten your holidays this year. We are at Metro Bottle Guys, 2225 Marietta Boulevard, Upper West Side, West Midtown. We'll be here until 6, an incredible 12,000-square-foot upscale bottle shop. Folks have already come through picking up a few items. You are more than welcome to come join us as well. We'll come back. The latest on Trey Young. He left last night's game with an injury. It's Dukes and Bell.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.